You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Good morning, family. Okay, if you were here last week and you're a visitor, y'all had a normal preacher last week, now you got me. Well, Lanny does good, don't he? All right, so I got to tell you something. You heard a testimony from Jose, right? That was good, right? That was phenomenal. Now, his situation is just like a lot of other 20-something and 30-something. It's really tough to be a believer in the current climate in America. It's a little easier in Texas, especially where we're at, but it's pretty tough. And I will tell you, that has been one of the most rewarding yet challenging group of kids, not because they're a bunch of goofballs, but because they are asking hard questions. And that's one of the reasons we have lost a generation, is nobody is willing to listen to a hard question from a 20-year-old, an 18-year-old, or a 30-year-old. And so we're letting them ask it. That's the whole thing. And it's killing me. But Matt, I got to be honest with you. I said something I haven't said since I've been in student ministry. And I got out of full-time student ministry in my mid-20s. I said these words the other day. My kids. I was talking about those kids. When we're in debate, we talk about my kids. We're in church youth groups, we talk about my kids. Just don't get any ideas. None of you are in the will. Catherine. I enjoy that group. So if you're in your 20s or 30s, married or single, 18 kids, one kid, come on down. Now, there are some things Jesus said that blew our mind. And it lives on for 2,000 plus years. And then there are some things that, you know, in contemporary society, just in your life, that you'll read or hear and you'll go, what? This morning. Sitting on my back porch for daylight, getting my head wrapped around today. Fox News. You ready? A 66-year-old woman in the UK gave birth to her 11th child. Did you read that? Are you uncomfortable a little bit? Now, I'm thinking from the dad's viewpoint, Jeremy. If honey had a baby, I'd be walking around like, mm-hmm. She's sick. I ain't gonna tell her. Y'all don't, shh. What? Her oldest is 45 and her youngest is a newborn. Just some of the stuff we hear blows our minds. Jesus was the master at blowing people's minds in the early New Testament days. He would say some of the darndest things. I can remember the first reaction, if you'll read in the Gospels, the first reaction that Jesus got from the Pharisees when he referred to God as his father. That was a no-no. That was too relational. That was way too personal. And so Jesus started talking about his father, ultimately his daddy, and man, it blew their ever-loving minds. And so I'm going to say something today that's going to bother a lot of you. It bothered me for years. And I got to be honest, I know I'm saved, but this scripture that I'm going to read today really concerns me. And I'll give you some reasons in just a minute. But the big thing is, you just hear me out, open up your heart, open up your mind, and just listen to me for a second. But before I do, and you know I normally don't do this, we pray a lot at Cross Brand during the service, but I need to pray before this one. Pray with me real quick. Lord, I have prepared this. I have approached this topic many times at Cross Brand. But we're going to camp on a very, very disturbing passage of scripture that you said. And I need your help, but not just me. I've been prayed for. I prayed for myself, But right now, like Jesus prayed in John, I pray for the listeners. I pray that today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, nobody will leave this place without assurance, 100% confidence in the fact that they will go to heaven when they pass away. In Christ's name, amen. Jesus said this, Matthew chapter 7, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. And on that day, what day is that? Judgment. Must assume he's talking about that. Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Drive out demons in your name? Do many miracles in your name? And Jesus, incidentally, will announce to them, I never knew you. Depart. And where he is sending them is such an unpleasant topic. We've talked about it here. Most preachers don't like to talk about it. I get it. These people went to hell. And I certainly don't want anybody to go there. We preach a good news. That's what the good news is that, you know, ultimately the good news is Jesus does two things when he comes in your life. He gives you help now. Let's don't leave that out. On your hurts, habits, and hangouts, Jesus gives you help now. And then secondly, he gives you heaven later. How about that? That sounds pretty cool, right? But let's just dive into this. This is going to be relatively short. There were two observations, and we don't have to go farther than just this scripture. I like just camping on a scripture, and so that's what we'll do today. So there's two extractions from this particular passage of scripture. Number one being, there were a lot of folks in Jesus' time that thought they were saved, that thought they were going to heaven. They thought they were square with the Father, but they weren't. And it's pretty clear. Look at how many. On that day, many will say to me, I remember the words, many are called, few are chosen. Many are called, few are chosen. Which tells me there's a whole lot less believers than probably statistics show. You agree, Paul? Probably a whole lot less believers than statistics would show in modern America. Because you look at the statistics, you can look at Pew Research, you can look at Barna, and the things people say to identify themselves as a Christian is way off. It's way off. Not many Christians I know would say that they don't believe in a physical, bodily resurrection of Christ. But many people who are surveyed who identify as Christians don't even believe in a bodily resurrection of Christ. So that's a deal breaker, right? That's off. If you don't believe in that, which is the foundation, the bedrock of everything in our faith. Many's going to say, and they're going to give their credentials. In this particular scripture, now, my quiet times are in Acts, and there's lots of fake believers in Acts, but Jesus just typically chose three things to point out right here. So don't think that fakers, faker Christians, are just limited to these three things. We preached, we drove out demons, and we did many miracles in your name. In modern culture, that's going to be more in line with just the fact that they looked like they were saved. They looked Christian. They talked Christians. And guys, nobody in this room knows more about fakers than I do. Number one, because I was one. I grew up in a Baptist preacher's home, but I wasn't saved until I was 19. And number two, the amount of hypocrisy that I saw in the church growing up makes me sick in my stomach even today. My dad had a deacon, aka demon, that was a part of the KKK. Because he said certain races of people don't have souls. And I wasn't even a believer. And I walked up to him, tugged him on his shirt sleeve, and I said, "Where does it say that in the Bible?" "You're too young. You wouldn't understand." "How about I kick you in your..." Never mind. They did all the right things. They said all the right things. They cast out demons and they preached. There is a phenomenal quote from Billy Graham. And he said this, "I tell you, I will not go to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going to heaven entirely on the merit of the word of Christ." And he is there today, not because Billy Graham was a great preacher. He was there because he had a relationship with Jesus. But they were confused. And I'm going to talk about this in just a second. They were confused because Jesus said a pivotal statement at the end. "You did all that. You looked the part. You could talk the part somewhat. But you and I don't have a relationship." Now, how in the world does this translate to us? Because even though I trust Scripture, as a matter of fact, if you're in your 20s and 30s, the question was asked to me, how can we trust the Bible? And I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to give them some reasons today, if you're in the 20s and 30s, of why you can trust Scripture. But I trust Scripture. Any of y'all trust Scripture? Okay, all right. So we trust Scripture, and these are some reasons why that are they're contrary reasons to Scripture. Number one, some people are just simply confused over the act of baptism. We took care of that, didn't we, brother? That's right. We took care of that two Wednesday nights ago. Whether it's out of sequence or not, we baptized a lot of people up here. We've even baptized a microphone. But one of the things that our lay pastors and our elders and all of those that would talk to folks about baptism, we hammer on the fact that baptism does nothing to get you into heaven. And so many people are confused about this. There are many people, God forbid, that are sitting there right now, and you've had that thing done to you, whether it was sprinkling or whether it was immersion. Some of you didn't have a choice. Your parents made you do it. Can you imagine in the mind of a child when some dude comes at them in a dress and pours water in their face? That traumatized my kids. But whatever you had done to you, whatever act, whether it was sprinkling or immersion, you literally, I hope you realize that guarantees nothing in the kingdom. Nothing. Let me tell you why. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to see a single cat I baptized when I was a kid. My daughter-in-law is a cat person. Oh, that makes you a cat lady. Next thing I'll be calling you Karen. Man. I don't know what was just said, but I don't even trust that side of the room. You know what baptism ultimately is? Number one, it's an act of obedience. Jesus said, you're supposed to do this. Just like the Lord's Supper. That's not an option. I had a pastor friend of mine that said, we don't do the Lord's Supper out here at our church because it don't have anything to do with salvation. You're right about one part, but you need to do it because the Lord told us to. Baptism is something that was specifically proclaimed, declared in the Great Commission. Go into the world, make disciples, and baptize. But there is a sequence, And I know in some of the texts, maybe in Acts, it gets a little confusing on the context of baptism. But baptism, regardless in Scripture, if you'll look at the original translations, it is always an act of obedience and a sign that you've changed teams. Plain and simple. When cattle change hands, unless you really, really trust your neighbor, please don't, you put a brand on them. All right? And I do have some cattle that have multiple brands on them, and it is not because they are crazy. It is because they are syndicated. If you hadn't had a fence jumper, you have no appreciation for what I just said. Max Lucado said this, and I don't know if y'all know this. Max Lucado is Church of Christ. Typically, Church of Christ believe that salvation and baptism are kind of need to be done the same thing. But every once in a while, you'll find a heretic in the Church of Christ, and that is Max Lucado. And Max said, typically, some people believe they are going to get to heaven just because a few drops of water were sprinkled over their heads a few weeks after their birth. They have no personal faith. They've never made a personal decision, and they are banking on a hollow ceremony to save them. How absurd. That's right, Max. So a lot of people are confused about baptism, and just as those people would stand in judgment, and Jesus is going to say, I'm sorry. You did all that. Appreciate it. Good job, I guess. But none of that counts if you don't know me. There's a second reason I think in contemporary society a lot of folks are going to be part of the many at judgment is because, it's very simple, what I call church confusion. I go to church. Y'all ain't going to believe this. I was the MC at a pageant. It's okay, John. Take your heart medicine. Calm down. Jeremy, you know what a bodice is? How about a bodice? Bodice? I said it wrong 18 times. There were 30 mamas that rushed the stage. I thought I was going to be burned at the stake. Because I said some kind of drawer. It's a drawer, ain't it? Some kind of drawers. Y'all help me. Roylynn, you know what it is. Is it a, what, you ain't helping me none. I wasn't sure I wanted to know what it was. Finally, I just looked at one of those moms and I go, that thing. You know what? Just because I attended the pageant don't make me no beauty queen. And you can run a million miles with this example. I have to go to a barrel race every time. No, I have to. They force me. I have to. It's my dang granddaughter and my daughter-in-law. But I ain't a barrel racer. Because you know why? I can't say, kick them, honey, fast enough. Look up, look up, look up, look up. I just sound like a rooster when I do that. But see, real barrel racers, they speak their own language, right? Stacy, where are you at? Am I okay? Fear for my life? All right. Guys, here's the thing. A lot of people, good people, go to church. And here's been my experience, especially after I started coming to CrossBrand, and was in leadership here, and we developed a different way for you to be a part of this. One of the things we ask is if you want to be baptized or join the church, whichever one or both, we always want to clarify, hey, were you baptized like Jesus was? And most especially, the first question we ask out of the five is, are you saved? And here is what is so disturbing. Every elder, every lay pastor, every person in leadership that helps me with those conversations, it will blow your mind how many people say, yeah, I go to church at. What's even scarier is a lot of folks will go, yeah, I was raised in that church that my granddaddy started. And I go, man, that is wonderful, and I don't ever want to be disrespectful when I'm having those conversations. But tell me about your experience with Christ. Now, I don't have to know necessarily where you were saved, but what happened? What happened? Guys, a lot of people are confused. I don't want you to walk out here being part of the many that Jesus was talking about. Don't let baptism confuse you. Don't let church attendance confuse you. And don't let a religious experience confuse you. A lot of people have prayed a prayer. A lot of people, many of you, remember that? And I have to tell you, it's going to sound like I'm cussing. I'm not cussing, probably. But we used to be, back in the 80s, we got to take our kids, what was it called? Hell's Gates, Heaven's Flames? No, by Heaven's on Fire, Led Zeppelin song. I'm sorry. Heaven's Gates and Hell's Fire. And so what was that an opportunity? You cuss, go ahead. Let's just take our kids there and scare the hell out of them so they'll go to heaven. Now, funny, I picked on one of the barrel racers, but her daughter, who got redeemed out of that lifestyle and is roping now. Mike, just look this way. You don't even have to acknowledge. Oh, he's covering his face. Your daughter and I had a conversation about what I'm talking about right here. I don't know if y'all know that. You'll be proud of her. Laramie Whittemeyer is actually one of the chiefs at the American Fellowship of Cowboy Camp, kids camps. And her biggest concern was not killing people off in the games. Her biggest concern was not about the temperature in the cabins. Her biggest concern as a counselor was that we do not lead a child in a false confession of Jesus Christ. I love that girl. Gives me chills just thinking about that conversation. Let me tell you what happened to me at camp one time. If you've been here very long, you've heard this story. I've already told y'all about church camp and the June bug. That's what it should be titled, Marcia. Church camp and the June bug. This is like the Ray Stevens song, the day the squirrel went berserk, caused a revival at the church. I literally saw this. So I started back with a particular camp outside of Carthage, Texas, back in the 80s. And up until, I think, the early 90s, we still had an outdoor pavilion about this size. We'd run about 2,000 kids through a summer just in my part, which was four or five weeks that I was down there. One time, I was on stage. Of course, I still did it the traditional way, which is nothing wrong with that. The altar call, which is fine. We changed it a little bit. So I saw these kids on this entire row bail down to the altar. And it wasn't due to the Holy Ghost. You're welcome, Pentecostals. It wasn't because of the Holy Spirit. You're welcome, Baptists. It was due to a June bug. So the last dude out admitted what happened. He's a big old burly football player. And he was sitting on the outside of the row. The preacher put out passionate pleas for kids to come to faith, to come to Christ. Well, that big old football player started crying. And a girl next to him, she patted him on the hand. It's okay. Well, she lost it. Well, her girlfriend lost it. Her girlfriend lost it. Nobody knew why they was crying. It was a chain reaction. They go down to the altar. Counselors was asking them, why are you here? I don't know. And later somebody asked old big boy, are you okay? Yeah, dang June bug hit me in the eyeball. Guys, you may have had an experience, but unless that experience involved your sin and the Savior, I pray today you'll understand that right now where you sit in eternity is your part of the many. And one final is that good old boy stuff. And I know a bunch of good old boys. I know a bunch of good old boys. Nicodemus was a good old boy. Did you know that? Nicodemus was a good old boy. He came to Jesus at night. He was very religious. You would not believe how many good old boys I've had the opportunity to lead to faith, though. your righteousness, your own personal ability to be square with God just because you keep most of the big Ten Commandments, because you have that kindness about you, even your generosity is not good enough to get us square with the Father. You know why? Second thing I need you to know is ultimately they're going to miss the key to being saved. Now, I've already alluded to the key. I've already alluded to the solution. Jesus will say, I will announce you never knew me. The missing ingredient in all of these stories I've told you this morning, from the New Testament to even in contemporary culture, they got one missing ingredient, is you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. What does this mean? Well, I can tell you this. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. This is going to involve a U-turn. It's going to involve a U-turn. It is you admitting exactly what you are. And this is where I lose a lot of folks, especially men, because we're prideful. It's admitting I'm a sinner by nature and I'm a sinner by choice. And I get it. Even a lot of churches have taken the word sinner out of their hymn books. Many of those print and go preach it on Sunday morning preachers don't even have that word in those downloaded sermons that somebody higher up than them tells them they can preach. I get it. Some of us naturally know that wasn't the hard part for me, knowing that I was a sinner. It was, is there somebody big enough that has accomplished what I cannot, and that's get square before the Lord, and that is Jesus. Guys, until those two things intersect, Jesus don't know you. As I close, I'll share this with you. I cut my teeth in ministry in a little country church with 18 kids in my student ministry. I took them to a winter conference right outside of Dallas. All these kids were saved. They were my deacon's kids, my song leader's kids. Heck, one of them was even a preacher's kid. And guess what happens at that conference? 60% of those saved kids got saved. And I got to be honest with you. That was the first time I realized what Jesus was talking about. It was in real time for me. 60% of self-identifying Christians just became real Christians. After I got over the shock, I was elated. After I was elated, I went home to a bunch of parents who defended, ultimately, the devil. A lot of them would say to me, my kid was baptized. My kid grew up in this church. And I'm going, see, you're saying exactly what Jesus said the many would say. And guys, I'm telling you, as you leave this building this morning, and I've prayed for you, and you have been prayed for, but do not leave this building. As a matter of fact, if you don't want to stand out, if you don't want to come down front, if you don't want to pray with me right now, you just keep your seat. Matt, make sure the prayer team is watching. You just keep your seat if you want to be kind of inconspicuous. And we'll come by and talk to you. Don't be part of the many. Be part of the called, the chosen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for the opportunity, even though this is hard. These are yucky topics. I pray, Father, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that people will walk out of here with assurance. A lot of them maybe got saved when they was a kid and they don't remember, but Father, I pray that you'll give them assurance right now. Show them it's either through their lifestyle, through their changed behavior, through their attitudes. But Lord, don't let people leave. And guys, I'm going to ask you to do something. You just keep your heads bowed just for privacy and focus. Just for privacy and focus. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't want to. Are you part of the many? Has the Lord revealed that to you today? And you need to be saved. I'm just asking you to do something for me right now where you're sitting. And I ain't going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. If you want complete assurance, tell Jesus right now, Jesus, I am a mess. I am a sinner. I want to be a Christ follower. Please forgive me of my sins. Lord, please, please change me. and help me to live exactly the way you want me to from this day forward. In Christ's name, amen.